Market Music with Fairbairn and Russell.
Welcome to the Market Musings podcast on today, the 22nd of April. We welcome our guest today from a company who detect online counterfeits and take them down, or at least that's what it says on their website. The CEO who joins us today is Yoav Kerin, and the company is Brandshield. Hello, Yoav.
Hi, nice to meet you. Thank you.
Hi, Yoav.
Where are you calling from today, Yoav?
From Israel, just near Tel Aviv.
Okay, we've not had a caller from Israel before, so that's the first on the podcast.
Oh, I'm happy to be the first.
good. And what is it like over in Israel? And set the scene for us.
So right now, with the whole COVID-19, it looks like things are getting a little better in Israel.
Okay.
We had they've taken steps here prior to most other countries. So the death rate currently is quite low. It's less than 200 people at this point overall.
Oh, good.
And, you know, Israel is 9 million in the population. So it's, you know, if you compare it to New York, we should have been in thousands of deaths by now. Mm. You know, they've released a little bit the lockdown a few days ago. And my biggest fear, I would say, is that people are gonna be too loose, and we're gonna have a second wave.
Okay.
We hope that won't happen.
Yep. That's the risk, isn't it? It's good though that you've done the right so far. You're faring a lot better than a lot of the Western countries.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. So, Yoav, how is the Brandshield managing to operate in this environment? Is it business as usual, or is it, you know, things taking longer to get moving?
Actually, it's been hectic these weeks. We've been so what's happening practically right now worldwide, and maybe I'll just have another one sentence before I start explaining. You said Brandshield detects counterfeits and takes them down. Well, that's kind of where we've started, but we've expanded much more in the past couple of years into the cybersecurity space. And our focus these days is on phishing and fraud. Mm. In some way, I would say that these two problems kind of merged and they've become one. The same methods that were used to sell counterfeits online are now also used for phishing and fraud and impersonation. And the bad people are just doing everything, you know, in the same way. So we've realized that our technology works for both problems and are focusing more on that. And the phishing and fraud has surged in the past few weeks since the whole coronavirus crisis started. We actually went out with a few media releases that were published about a surge in the amount of phishing sites around Zoom, around Netflix. We found a lot of, and I'm talking about, again, phishing, fraud. They're just taking people's money. They are attacking the companies themselves. A lot around the N95 masks, both selling counterfeits or just taking people money, you know, phishing and fraud. You may have heard about, there was a big the German government had significant losses because of a phishing attack. So what we're having in the past few weeks is actually an increase. We are being called by a lot of companies around the world that are getting hit and are looking for our services. So it's in that perspective, it's been good for us. Of course, we had a few customers that got hit. That's normal. You know, we have a few customers that are in, I would say, in industries that are really struggling these days, and we totally understand. But on our overall for Brandshield, this is actually shows a big potential for our product, because I think it also brings the whole problem into awareness much more than before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's really good to hear. That's actually benefited you then. That's good.
Yeah, in some sense. I wish we didn't have this, the coronavirus in general for all. But from a business perspective, it has brought what we're doing into kind of the center.
More focus,
Focus, yeah.
Just stepping away from Brand Shield for a couple of minutes, you have it, but it'd be good to dig into your past and see what you've done in your sort of business life, what your journey's been, you know, what motivates you, you know, what's your goals. You know, if you could just give us a couple of minutes and how you ended up being the CEO of Brand Shield, etc.
All right. So how far do you want me to go? I can go on for hours and talk about myself. No, just kidding. So I'll start from a little bit of background related to Brand Shield. And if you have, you know, more questions, please feel free. I started my business career after a political career, actually, and we can go back to that later if you want. About 20 years ago, I've started a company called Domain the Net. It still is the largest domain name registrar in Israel. Started the company with two other founders, Yuval Zantkaren and David Friedman. We've been with Domain the Net as a registrar, icon accredited registrar. You know, you register your domain names for the websites with registrars, and we've been very much involved also in the World Organization of the Internet, which is called ICANN. Mm-hmm. As part of you know, being there on the internet infrastructure 20 years ago, this is 2000 when we started the company, we realized that things are changing. That was about 8 years ago when we started seeing the change. And a lot of what we are doing now in Brand Shield, we used to do back then, kind of doing an analyst work for some of our big customers manually. And at some point, we understood that, you know, this is not going to work. So we need something very different. As being techies, we decided to develop a technology. We invested our own money and got a government grant. It's called the Innovation Authority of Israel to develop the core initial technology of Brand Shield. It's been evolved significantly since then. And then back in 2013, we spun off the company and called it Brand Shield. That's how I got to be the CEO of Brand Shield. I'm one of the founders. I was the CEO of Domain the Net also. That's basically it from that perspective.
All right. I'll imagine having a political career has helped with networking and things like that. What made you get into politics?
The politics is a very different thing. It was less relevant for our business because it's a very distinct areas in what we're doing. I learned a lot in politics. A lot of things in business is politics. Actually, being active at ICANN is a lot of politics, and I was actually elected there at some point to be. The representative for registrars or worldwide on the main council of ICANN, that's called the GNSO council. I was actually elected twice, so I did that term for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of I would say internet politics that I was involved in. My politic career started very early. I was very active. Was a teenager. I think I was 15 when I started being active in the Israeli Labor Party back then. Then, you know, in Israel, you join the army when you were 18. So that naturally stopped. But when I went out of the army and started university, after 3 weeks in university, I was kind of getting bored in some sense. I was studying physics and computer science, so that was interesting. But I didn't want to do something else. And then I joined the Students' Council activities there, became the chairman of the Student Council about a year later, and got very active in the Labour Party. And in 96, I became an advisor, a senior advisor to one of the most promising politicians back there in the Labour Party in Israel, and was with him for 4 years. Also when he was a minister, so I was a senior advisor for him as a minister. He was a minister in the Prime Minister's office. So, and I did a lot of interesting thing in politics, but then went to my other passion, which is the high tech and, you know, science.
Yeah, it's a great thing to have in your CV. It sounds like an interesting journey you've had in life so far. Anyway, just coming back to BrandShield, can you give us a high-level overview? Obviously, there's the BrandShield product and there's ElectionShield as well. Could you just sort of, you know, if a company approached you, what's the services you offer? You know, what kind of, you said you're taking down fake websites and things like that, counterfeiting. Can you give us an overview of the company?
Sure, I will. So basically the space that we are in is, or the solution that we provide is from brand protection to online threat hunting. We detect online threats and we take them down. That's also the interesting thing. So it's not only intelligence, it is actually closing the loop and getting rid of, the, of those problems. The problems that we deal with are, as I said, phishing, fraud, impersonation, counterfeit sales, all kind of brand abuse activities online. What our system does in general, it's based on artificial intelligence and big data. It automatically crawls the internet, detects websites, social media users or posts, marketplaces listings like on eBay or Alibaba or Amazon, mobile apps and so on, that are using a company's name, a person's name, a brand name, a product name, whatever it is. So some kind of a name. Okay, that's kind of the starting point. The system looks for all the domain name variations that are out there that are using the brand. That's, of course, a very basic initial search, but then it goes generally online and collects data from a lot of different sources. From search engines, from the marketplaces listings, from the social media platforms, wherever it found the brand name or company name, it crawls into that, collects all the information, takes it back to a database, and then it automatically analyzes that data. So it will detect where was that used, and also what's the how relevant is it? Okay, what exactly are they doing? Using a lot of artificial intelligence and I would say, you know, crossing data, finding clusters of information and so on, the system is able to detect the potentially more threatening or abusing cases. So those type of websites that are trying either to steal people's money or to sell the counterfeits or to attack the companies themselves. Impersonating, you know, people internally or something like that. Once that is detected, there are all kind of tools in the system that automate the actual takedown process. Of course, the company itself, the customer, needs to approve any action that we take. But at that point, a lot of it is done automatically to approach the relevant service provider that hosts that particular, you know, whether it's a post or a page or a user or a website. And we also have our hunting team. So our hunting team are very professional people that follow up on the automated activities of the system and will then make sure these things are taken down quickly. So basically from a customer's perspective, we take care of all the threats that are out there outside of their perimeter of their organization that are happening online that they can't really control. We detect them and we take them down. And that's a big value for the customers.
So, I just had a point on that. So It's AI based and algorithm based that runs off servers presumably and just trawls the internet and as you say cross checks data to work out if things are genuine or not. But so it presumably it only will detect one of your clients. So for example, let's take eBay. If eBay are not a customer of BrandShield, then BrandShield isn't going to find any fraudulent things on eBay. But if eBay was to sign up, then potentially it would. Is that correct?
No. So let's eBay is let's not get confused on something. So let's say there's a certain brand, okay, some kind of a product,
okay,
they will be our customers. When we search the internet, we'll detect standalone websites that are impersonating that brand. Let's say whatever, pharmaceutical. Okay, a lot of things around pharmaceuticals, and we have actually some of the biggest pharmaceuticals of the world are our customers. So we detect the websites that pretend to be that company or pretend to sell their products. We detect social media impersonations to their CEOs or to the company itself,
okay,
or people something, and we also detect sales on eBay or sales. Okay. On Amazon, sales on Alibaba. Actually, by the way, you know, making it relevant for these days, some of the most active pharmas in this field that are developing all kind of stuff around the COVID-19 are our customers, and we have already detected and took down cases of fraud, phishing, and counterfeits for their products or products that are being developed. That's it. Now, eBay itself can become a customer, not for us to detect the counterfeits on their platform, but more to detect their phishing. Okay, so someone trying to pretend to be eBay itself.
I get it. Yeah, so let's say, I don't know, a car company is one of your clients and someone's put fraudulent listings of a car on eBay, it would pick that up.
Yes.
Yeah. Through the car manufacturer's contract with you. Yeah. Okay. No, I understand. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
Is there a blockchain involvement with BrandShield as well? Is it interfacing with the blockchain?
So we've had, you know, back when the whole blockchain space really had a big surge, I would say, we started with working on a project called MyShield. We were looking to do an ICO also. The idea of MyShield was kind of to take BrandShield to the end users. So today, our customer are the organizations themselves. Of course, in you know, not directly, indirectly, we are protecting their customers, but we're not protecting the customers directly. MyShield was intended to be something that a user uses and get alerts based on the BrandShield AI and big data, and also can also actually put a report and report if they see some fraud or phishing or counterfeits. That part was, you know, since the whole space blew up, I would say. So we left that at that point. We focused on our more business related companies, technology and space. But we are developing some of the capabilities of MyShield, and we've patented the whole idea. So this is something that we will come up at some point in the future. It is in our roadmap. It is in our plans. The very first stage of that technology, we've launched it for some of our customers just recently. So yeah, this is something that will, you know, down the road will be available.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I remember the MyShield offering, because I actually read the white paper and it was very interesting. Hopefully, as you say, you can come back to it further down the roadmap. So just on revenue, obviously, for BrandShield, what is the revenue model? Do you, is it like a no-win, no-fee situation, or do you have a monthly recurring charge for these customers and you pay extra you know, if so, you take down.
We're a SaaS company, okay? Software as a service. The model for SaaS companies is subscriptions. Since these are significant contracts and services, so many SaaS companies do it on a monthly basis. We don't do monthly basis contracts, so they're more long term. But basically, that's what it is. It's based on what exactly are the solutions. You know, we have different capabilities, different models, different products, I would say, that we provide to our customers. So it depends exactly what they choose. That would be, of course, the actual fee that based on the which product they're choosing that they will be paying, and also how many brands they're trying to protect. You know, of course, there's some customers that have one brand. There's companies that have multiple brands, which will, you know, it's a different case. So that's basically, I would say, the revenue models. We don't charge based on the takedown, or if we do more takedowns. We think that would be a conflict of interest for us. You know, we see ourselves as a partner of our clients. We're protecting them. If we took down more listings or more websites or more social media posts for them, and now charge them more for that, that would just be a conflict of interest. That means that we'll make more money from their having more trouble. And we've seen companies doing that. I think customers don't really like it. So the way that, from a business perspective, that we are, I would say, making sure that we're in good shape and profitable, is that we are automating significant amount of our processes. So in many times, taking them 1 or 100, if they're connected, would take the same time for us. And therefore, it doesn't really matter what's the number. That's more important that you detect the most important threats, and that you quickly respond to them and take them down.
So how do you actually take them down? Because if someone set up a dodgy phishing site, for example, they presumably, that's being hosted somewhere under their account. So how does the company actually go about taking these things down?
Sure. Yeah. So that's also very, very important to understand, because sometimes when you say the word takedown, people, the thinking is very aggressive.
Yeah.
And there's no aggressive thing here being done. We don't attack anyone.
Okay.
We have no missiles and no internet missiles. Basically, it's a process. And there's no, by the way, there's also no magic. Okay, no one has a magic for that. Basically, the way to take down any type of threat is to approach the service provider. So in case of a website, that would be the hosting provider, or the ISP, or the mail server provider, or the registrar of the domain name, and so on. And when it's social media, so the relevant social media platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is. And the same on the marketplaces, eBay, Alibaba, Amazon, and all the others. So we'll approach the relevant service providers. And the whole, I would say, the smart thing here is, again, to automate it, do it quickly, and also to provide them the right evidence. So as much as possible in an automated way, so they will respond quickly to our requests.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it could be quite a lengthy process, couldn't it?
Sometimes, but I would say that, we took down phishing sites within minutes. Okay.
Right.
Sometimes it takes longer, depending those cases that it will, be more than 24 hours. It's when there's some kind of a provider that will not react too quickly.
Okay.
But we have all kind of ways to find and how to expedite it. There's also another thing that we're doing is that would be, I would say, less take down, more blocking. So we alert different service providers that users at the end are using in different ways. So that can be antiviruses and other other service providers, other softwares that are being used. So they about the phishing that we've detected, and they will block it on their systems. So then at least, even if it's not the website, the source is not taken down, but these people are alerted that this is a phishing or a fraud or something like that.
Okay.
You touched on revenue a few minutes ago. You have, I believe in the last couple of years, BrandShield has had some great revenue growth. Can you just cover that for us if possible, please?
Yeah, so I think you know, once we've realized that the security space is where this is growing significantly, and where there's two problems of brand protection have merged, and the phishing and fraud have merged into one, and kind of did a little pivot from a technology perspective. Just, you know, wasn't significant. It's just making sure that we are approaching the right direction. We had a significant growth in our revenues. We doubled from 17 to 18. We've doubled in 19. We grew in over 70%. So it's been good. We hope, you know, naturally, of course, COVID-19 will have its effect. But as I said, we're getting a lot of significant companies coming to us in the past few weeks and asking for services. So we believe that at the end we will continue growing our business.
Yeah, that's quite astonishing, some of those numbers, you know, 100%, 17, 18, and did you say 17% in 19?
70.
Over 70. Yeah. All right. So going forward, obviously, this is the part I'm quite interested. Obviously, I've got a vested interest in BrandShield because I hold some shares in Two Shields, which is one of your, I would say they're probably one of your major investors.
Yep.
In BrandShield. What is the roadmap? Obviously, COVID is knocked the roadmaps for many companies going forward. Is it still the intention of the company to IPO at some point in 2020, or has it been pushed back because of the situation?
Oh, it naturally, you know, physically we couldn't do anything in these couple of months. We've announced our goal of IPOing in AIM sometime in 2020, and this is what we're still planning. Based, of course, on when the market environment, I would say, will allow that, and it's also the physical restrictions. We can't really travel, so that's one of those, I would say, the main issues. But we are still in that direction, working and continue to prepare for that. So the plan is still there.
All right, good stuff.
Did we talk about Election Shield?
No, I would say a few words of that. That's a new.
Yeah, because that's interesting as well.
Yeah, it's a new product. I would say that we've launched just before this whole thing started. Basically, it's using the capabilities that we have with a focus on political campaigns. So basically, what you see a lot when political campaigns are out there, there's a lot of phishing, there's a lot of fraud, and there's a lot of impersonation. Fake news is a little bit problematic, right? Now, we can also detect some of the cases of fake news in some level, but the things that you can actually take action on, for example, if someone impersonates on social media, that happens a lot, impersonates a politician, or puts out a fundraising campaign somewhere on a website, and instead of you getting the money, some bad guy is getting the money. So these things happen more and more often. Just it happened for any other type of product, I would say. And we've realized that, we've seen the increase in that direction. So we've packaged our solution dedicated for that market.
Okay.
But it's basically doing the same things that we are doing.
Yeah.
If it was a company, but it's now it's just not a company. The product is a politician.
It's a politician.
Or a political campaign or whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's very relevant. The UK had elections not so long ago, and there was a lot of concern about that. And I know Donald Trump is a massive campaigner for against fake news, whether you know right or wrong. But it's definitely the thing. And these deep fakes that you know are going around.
That's a part of it. The deep fakes also. These are things that overall we are able to detect these.
Okay.
In some level, again, less in we're not getting into right now into the actual analyzing the video itself, but there's a lot of things around it. Once it's out there, our system is able to detect these things, whether it's fake news or deep fakes, very early in the process. So one of the things that I would say the advantages for a politician to use this is that if you want to protect yourself, is we'll know about this very early in the process. Okay, once it's out there, so you can react to this much quickly. You might not be able to take this down quicker, but one thing that is happening is that the social media platforms, also right now around COVID-19, you may have seen some news around Facebook and also WhatsApp, you know, trying to make sure that fake news are, they have a lot of policies against that, and they're trying to detect it and monitor it on their platform. So if we are able to detect it for a specific customer on an early stage and alert the platforms about it, they will probably collaborate and stop it.
Yeah, because there is a lot of that going around, isn't there? As you say, in WhatsApp in this COVID-19, there's sort of rumors that have been started, you know, about people who've the young people. I think something like young people are dying because they took ibuprofen or something like that. It was something to do with that. You know, there's actually not really any evidence to suggest that's true at all. It was a complete fake, that the whole thing was fake, but it was sort of claimed to be from a nurse or a doctor or something, and it spreads like wildfire. And yeah, it's dangerous. It's misinformation.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's a really interesting space. Are you the only ones operating in this sector, or do you have competition as well?
So of course there's always competition. And it's good to have competition. Otherwise there would be no market out there. The uniqueness of BrandShield is in how we do this, how we detect the data, the level that we are able to detect, and the way that we close the loop. What I've discussed is the online threat hunting, the takedowns itself, and our efficiency in that perspective. So we do things differently. There's other companies that do some of what we do, so we have some overlaps, but we have seen customers using us and others. So insecurity is kind of no limit. So they will many times take one company that does some things good, and then they will add us. And of course, in some cases, we have quite a few customers that use only us. So I think we have a good position where we are in the uniqueness of our technology and the way the solution that we provide to the customers at this point.
Okay, cool. So, Kenny?
Yeah, I think we've had a great half an hour there with you. I think we've covered just about absolutely everything. It's been it's been great to have you on. I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man, and hopefully we can have you on again in the future, because it's a really interesting subject, and we would like to see how this.
It's a unique subject.
Yeah, how the company comes out of the COVID situation, and obviously how you develop Election Shield going forward. So, again, thanks for your time.
Of course. Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me, and I'll be happy to come again.
Perfect.
Thank you, Yoav.
All right. Take care.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to a podcast from Market Musings. Tune in next time.